There was a time above, a time before. There were perfect things, diamond absolutes. But things fall, things on earth, and what falls is fallen. In the dream,
da-dum.
They took me to the light. A beautiful lie.
I'm not. I'm Robin.
Howdy, Roundabout. And happy Halloween, all you shaggy goose egg boys. Oh. And welcome to...
Happy Halloween.
Al Pacino's prison scene.
Ah, shit.
Where today?
I forgot.
Robin, don't curse.
He forgot the gloves.
It's a bat curse.
I just realized. Do you have kitchen gloves?
No.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we need oven mitts.
Yeah. Oh, hey, do you have oven mitts?
Not two. Only one.
I'll take it.
And they're gray.
I'll take it.
Not green.
I'll take it.
No.
Stop touching my hand. I legitimately cannot see.
I legitimately cannot see anything at all. Also, I'm not wearing pants. So, yeah, it's gonna be...
Welcome to Al Pacino's Prison Scene.
A spooky one.
The podcast where... Three college students who know absolutely nothing about anything. We talk about it. And we... THINK ABOUT IT!
Oh, you're Slim Shady.
I'm Slim Shady. No, it's Slim Shady.
What's today's movie?
This looks like a job for me. Everybody, just follow me, because we need a little controversy, because it feels so empty without me.
All we're going to hear.
Every time you hit the table, it peaks. Anyway.
Dum-dum.
What movie are we doing?
Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice.
Oh, I was
going to
say
Edition.
Captain America, Civil War.
Oh, yeah.
Ultimate Edition.
The only edition we could find. My head keeps getting... How does Batman fight like this? Stop it! That's so weird! I felt like his inner thigh, like, rubbed my hairy ass leg.
I'm getting really tired doing this voice.
I'm tired of you.
Yeah, me too.
Doing this voice.
I can't see anything.
He's Daredevil.
I'm Daredevil.
Also.
He's Robin Devil.
I'm Robin.
Dare Robin.
This is a 3-hour movie.
Yeah,
so this is a three-hour podcast.
And there's a lot I want to talk about.
Stop trying to...
So before we talk about anything else, we're going to do the recap now.
All right, I'm going to need some help because I can't see to read the Wikipedia. I'm not cheating. I don't ever read it word for word, except for last episode I did for a little bit. But I don't ever read it word for word.
I swear to me!
I use it as a bookmark because I get interrupted all the time.
Did that scare you?
No, it didn't scare me, but it's loud.
Alright. Mm-hmm. Batman versus Superman.
Your worst nightmare.
Oh my.
It's funnier because he can't see. That's insensitive. I apologize.
But he's looking right at me.
Alright, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn
of
Justice.
I was born in the dark.
Wrong character.
Oops.
Oops.
I was born in the dark.
Okay. Robin, take over. No, not me. Take over me.
Okay.
Take on.
Oh, you were playing Last of Us 2 earlier.
No, he was playing Last of Us 2 also.
Alright, do the fucking thing.
Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition. Starts off pretty much in the events of Man of Steel, which I haven't seen. But
What?
I thought you said you were watching it.
No, I watched the first 20 minutes of it. And right. I'm like, ah, fuck.
So you didn't even get to the part where he's.
Dude, look at this shit.
Yeah.
What?
Not you. Keep going.
Okay.
Finally.
Anyway.
I'm doing other stuff. I can't paint with this. I can do the podcast. I'm so pissed at what? That. What? Keep going.
No, what?
It has nothing to do with you.
Are you sure?
I'm at 100% positive.
What were you pissed at?
The freaking son.
Oh.
Of Jesus. I mean, God.
You mean Superman.
Yes.
Superman's, you know, saving the world, but as he's saving the world, the city gets, you know, a lot of casualties happen. And...
What do you... Yeah, kombucha. That doesn't have that much alcohol in it.
And, no, I just can't see. And, Batman's, you know, saving all the people and noticing that a lot of people are dying because of Superman's, you know, super shit. And he's like, you know what? It may not be a good thing to have a Superman in the world. And so we fast forward a little bit. Also, we get a whole thing with, like, you know, Batman's backstory, blah, blah, blah. Oh, I'm so edgy because my parents died. And also, by the way, played by Negan and Maggie from Walking Dead, and this came out the year season 6 came out, which is you know, the premiere where Negan kills Maggie's husband in the show. I just thought that was neat.
I didn't care about that show.
Well, I did at the time. It after that season, it all went to shit.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so we kind of fast forward a little bit, and Superman is Clark Kent, and he's working his journalism job, and he sees that
his journalism job. He's a journalist.
He sees that the Batman, you know, like
brands
people, yeah. And he's like, hey.
He goes, hey, Captain Crunch.
Should we have a superhero?
Chef Boyardee.
Should we have a superhero who is that directly ruthless to the people that he brings in? So, you know, it kind of creates a little Captain America Civil War thing. And within all this, Lex Luthor is being insane and being rich. And he talks to the governor, and he's like, hey, can I import kryptonite? And she says no. And he's like, okay. And so he, like, puts a jar of piss by her desk as she's addressing the state about Superman.
What the fuck? This is way out of the way.
I know. I know. Red
capes are coming.
You just skipped, like, an hour.
Oh, no, I did. I did. But this is a 3-hour fucking movie. So, anyway, in between that time...
Lord of the Rings takes 3 days to watch the first one.
Yeah. In between, I may need a little bit. In between that time,
there were a time above.
Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne both are like going to a party, like where Lex Luthor is, mm-hmm. because I forget what Bruce is trying to do. He's trying to find out. He finds out about the Kryptonite, and he finds out that the Kryptonite can kill Superman.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
So that's why he goes to Lex's place.
Well, he knows that Lex may know who's importing it.
Yeah.
Because they work for him.
And Alfred like says to Bruce, he's like, well, you're trying to like figure out where it is so that you can stop them from using it, right? And he's like, no, I wouldn't use it. Essentially, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. And then Clark, I forget why Clark is there.
He's a journalist.
Okay.
He's journalisming.
Yeah, he's journalism.
He's journalizing.
All over Lex's place.
His so hot, sticky journalism.
So anyway. And guess who else is there? Diana Prince.
Gal Gadot to the thing.
Yeah, who is Wonder Woman. And Wonder Woman talks to Bruce during this party and tells him that Lex has a picture that belongs to me. And I forget how he gets the picture. A lot of shit happens.
So basically, like, he puts on, like, this little thing to get all the data to the Batcave.
Yeah.
And then when he goes back to retrieve it, because he can't just wait there, Gal Gadot takes it, and then she gets away. And then he meets her at, like, this other art exhibit. And she's like, oh, I already put it in your glove box. haha, so we're good. Because yeah, it was
and
encrypted.
And then he opens it and finds out that she's Wonder Woman, and also finds out that Aquaman and the Flash and Cyborg exist.
Yeah.
Not the Flash yet.
Well, yeah, Red I mean, Streak. Is really? I didn't know that was his name before.
It doesn't matter. Anyways, right before he opens that, he has a dream sequence.
Yes. Okay, so the nightmare dream sequence. No! Essentially in that, this is like post-apocalyptic. This is supposedly Lois Lane was killed. And this is like a future where Superman like loses all empathy for mankind and joins Darkseid, essentially.
Yeah.
And he like Batman actually like, you know, has to kill people, but it's essentially like they're like Nazi soldiers, but instead of a swastika, they got the Superman symbol. So yeah, very dark. And he meets up with a convoy to get what is supposed to be kryptonite in this vision, but it turns out it's a bomb. He got set up by Superman's men, and then Superman shows up and then basically tells Batman, he was like, "You took her away from me," and then goes to kill Batman, and then he wakes up. And as he wakes up, he is woken up by Barry Allen, who is time traveling from like way in the future, and if you watch the Snyder Cut, you know how far in the future. Anyway, Barry Allen like talks to Bruce, and he's like, "Lois Lane is the key. You were right about Superman. Fear him," and he leaves.
Fear me.
And then with that vague ass information, Batman's like, "I should probably kill Superman."
Mm-hmm.
And so it gives him more motive to go through with getting the kryptonite and killing him.
Superman goes to the Senate to testify because when he went and saved... Okay, so
yeah,
the movie kind of opens with like this whole bit where Lois is trying to talk to this warlord in Africa, and it was a setup by Lex Luthor's company to bring Superman there because they basically... As soon as she gets there, they basically kill everybody there who's not the warlord, and then they make it seem as if Superman did it, because as soon as the warlord takes Amy Adams hostage, then Superman comes down and he saves her, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by doing that, it makes it look as if Superman killed a bunch of people, which puts the public's faith in him, kind of questions it a little bit.
And Lex essentially does that again at the Senate, right?
Because he puts a bomb inside this one guy who at the very opening during the battle had his legs like cut off during Superman's
battle. And
this
is that peach tea scene that I was talking about. So now we're caught up to this point.
Yeah.
And so Superman flies away and help me out just a little bit.
Superman flies away and he basically loses all hope in like his mission. And then he goes and he sees a vision of his father up on like these snowy mountains. And his father tells him a story about how he saved his family farm from a flood, but in doing so, he diverted the flood, and it destroyed another family farm. So he was like, "While I ate my hero cake, there were horses that were, you know, drowning, you know, a farm over." And Superman's like, "Did you ever, you know, move on past that?" And he was like, "Yes, I did. What's her name? Martha. Superman's mom is what helped remind him that there was good in people and that there was good in the world specifically." And that gives Superman the impetus to come back. But during that time, Batman searches for the kryptonite.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And I'm going to be honest. I don't know how I missed that entire part with the dad.
Yeah, you're probably in the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, no.
Oh, you.
I was cooking during this.
Okay, so anyways, this is a little out of order, but Batman goes to get the kryptonite when it's being shipped in the Gotham Harbor, and while he's doing so, he's about to get it, and then Superman comes out of nowhere and is like, "Hey, stop being Batman, consider this mercy."
Yeah.
And then Batman goes,
"Do you bleed?
And then
you're going to."
Yeah, no, what? He says, "You will." Yeah, because Superman...
You're gonna.
So,
watch this.
Okay.
After the Senate bombing, Batman is like, "All right, I know where the kryptonite is now. It's in LexCorp." Batman off screen shows up takes the kryptonite and he starts fashioning it for himself, and he starts a big workout. And then it's Amy Adams figures out that Lex Luthor knows that her and Superman are involved. Yeah. And then while all that happens, she gets kidnapped and Martha gets kidnapped. Okay. Now you're up to date.
Yeah, so Lex kidnaps Lois Lane, and Lex says the only way, essentially the only way I can get Superman is through you, and so he throws her off of his building, and then Superman comes in, and I'm not skipping anything, am I?
No. Okay. Yeah, he comes in. This is right after he gets the Vision quest from his dad.
And then Superman swoops in, gets Lois Lane, puts her down, they kiss a little bit, goes back up to Lex Luthor, and Luthor essentially tells him that now you have to work for me because I have your mother, and I will burn her if you do not fight Batman. And and he's like, and now God kneels to me because, you know, he used the Trump card against Superman. So Superman,
don't say Trump.
Okay, he uses the Biden card against Superman. So
so he shits himself.
So
Biden's fucking stupid.
He's German.
And this is coming from Batman.
Yeah.
And Robin and Batman.
And anyway, so Superman flies down to Batman, where Batman wants to fight because he's got the God-killing spear and he wants to kill God. And and they fight for a little bit, and at first, Superman does not want to fight him, but Batman essentially gives him no choice because he doesn't want to listen. So they fight for a little bit, and Batman gets the upper hand. He almost kills Superman, and then Superman says, "Martha,
Martha.
Save Martha."
And then Batman's like, "How do you know
that name? Why did you say that?
Why did you say that?"
He goes. What?
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 Your mother is the same name as my mom? We're best friends!
Yeah, and then he promises Superman that he's gonna go save his mom.
Yeah,
Superman
can. And take Lois
care
is
of
like,
Doomsday.
It's his mother's name.
Yeah. Alright, so Batman goes and saves the mom, and it's a fucking awesome fight scene.
Yeah, it's cool.
And
he kills people.
Superman goes back to Lex, right?
Yeah.
And Lex is like, "Hey, guess what I did? I made a monster that could kill you with kryptonite DNA, with Kryptonian DNA. It's essentially Abomination, but Superman."
It's Doomsday.
It's Doomsday.
It's... Why would you compare it to Abomination?
Well, because he says Abomination earlier in the film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but it's kind of... I mean, he's stupid.
The Abomination of Desolation.
He's like Hulk, but with souped up Superman powers.
That's from the Bible.
But anyway... Well, I'm so glad they unleash Abomination. Abomination comes up, and he just beats the shit out of Superman. And Superman takes Abomination and throws him up into space, and they're both in space. And the U.S. government's like, "Hey, what should we do? Oh, we should nuke them both." And so they nuke them both. And Abomination actually gets more powerful out of that.
And
Doomsday. Doomsday.
And Superman turns into a ghoul from Fallout.
Yeah, he turns into a ghoul
until
for
the sun
bit.
Hits him, and then he's fully restored, fully back in action. Luke
because
back
he's
action.
The son of Krypton. And
Cal.
Son.
Cal.
L.
Cal.
Cal.
Cal. L.
No, Cow L.
No, it's C-A-L.
Cowl is what
Cal-L.
Batman has. Kind of.
Cow.
So, yeah,
no, it's what Robin has.
They go to fight Doomsday, and Batman tries to bring him back to where the spear is.
Well, Wonder Woman drops down and she joins
this
the
is,
fight. Oh.
No, this is when he brings him back to there to find where the spear is, where Batman left it.
Yeah.
And that's when Wonder Woman shows up.
Yeah. And so they fight for a little bit.
Superman comes back.
And they do kind of a football toss of the spear. Well, actually, the spear is down in a thing where
it's in a pit.
Yeah, it's in a pit filled with water, also filled with Lois Lane. Because she had to dive in there because the building was collapsing on
filled
her.
Filled with Lois.
But now she's trapped in there because she can't get out of the building. And she can't get the building off of her. And so Superman hears her as they're fighting. And Superman goes goes in and saves Lois Lane, and he like dives in for the spear, but he comes out and he's all weak with the spear because he has the spear, and then he like looks at Lois Lane and he's like,
"You are my world."
No, he says, "I love you." And then she's like, "No, that means that you're gonna like sacrifice yourself." And he's like, "Yeah, that is what it
means."
That's
true. So, every time I told a woman I love her, I kill myself.
Good thing you never told a woman that.
Yeah.
Just because you haven't had the chance to.
So anyway, he takes a spear and then he flies into Doomsday and stabs it into Doomsday's heart, and then Doomsday takes his like little nub hand that's got a little spike coming out of it, and he stabs Superman through the heart, and Superman's like, "Ah, this means I'm gonna die," but Superman like drives a spear a little bit further into Doomsday, and then Doomsday like dies. Doomsday dies.
Doomsday dies.
And so does Superman.
And so does Superman.
Then we get a funeral.
If we get a funeral of Superman.
For both Superman and Clark Kent.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, both Superman, because Superman gets the whole salute from the military, even though they consciously tried to kill him.
Well, they were trying to kill Doomsday, and they accepted he was collateral damage.
He was collateral damage, yeah. And so they do that whole thing, and they also do a private funeral for Clark Kent, which is where the actual body is, right?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, I forgot you can't see.
Yeah, and
Oh,
also, I don't know if this is in the theatrical cut. It may just be in the ultimate cut, but would you... Martha... Oh my god! Martha says to Lois Lane, "Hey, here is something that Clark saved for you." And she opens it, and it's a wedding ring.
Yeah, he was going to propose.
And that's super sad. And she throws the first piece of dirt onto his grave.
No. Huh? We see Lex Luthor, and he's basically like, "Hey, the aliens are coming, Batman. Are coming."
Okay, something else about Lex Luthor, and I don't know if this is just in the Ultimate Cut, but when they go to arrest Lex Luthor, he is already giving the mother boxes to Steppenwolf.
Yeah, that was in the theatrical.
Okay, it was. Yeah. All right.
But No. He's not giving the mother boxes to Steppenwolf.
He's watching.
It's a vision.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, it's like the little... It's in Man of Steel, like their technology. He's learning from it, because...
Okay, yeah. So
anyways, so that's why he knows.
Okay, so he knows that Steppenwolf has the mother boxes and that he's coming.
No.
And so,
okay, no. God damn it. Knows that Steppenwolf's coming. That's it. Stop, Jake. He knows Steppenwolf's coming.
Okay, he gets the mother boxes later.
Yes.
Okay, sorry. I only watched Justice League once, and it was years before I started caring about DC. All
right, so with that being said, Batman and Wonder Woman, or Batman's like, "Yo, I got to build a team because I failed Superman in life, but I'm not going to fail him in death."
Yeah.
And so they're about to go recruit all the metahumans because something bad's about to happen. What's the final shot?
Oh, Jesus. Dirt. Oh, yeah. The dirt flying up from Superman's grave, hinting that Superman ain't dead.
Yeah, because it's the same kind of effect when he first started flying.
Yep.
Yeah, the sun's in the casket.
Also, Lex Luthor is being transferred to Arkham Asylum. Yep.
Asylum.
And Batman almost brands him, but doesn't.
Yeah, he punches the wall instead.
Yeah.
He brands the wall, so the wall's going to get shot. The wall's going to get shanked.
Yeah.
And then the guy's going to keep doing it until it dies, so he's going to be there for pretty much ever, forever.
Yeah, that's a good life sentence.
Yeah.
Batman.
Batman.
Be Superman.
Superman.
Dawn of Justice.
Ultimate Edition. Restore the Snyderverse.
What a long title. It's Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice, Ultimate Edition.
Restore the Snyderverse. Hashtag release the Snyder Cut. Plus on ice.
and then Justice League. Oh, I guess Justice League is Zack Snyder's Justice League, : Justice is Gray for the black and white one.
Yeah.
Wait. Yeah. Is that real?
Yeah.
For the...
There's a color version and a black and white version.
Why?
Well, I don't know, but here's what I'll say. I was watching the black and white one earlier today.
Cool.
It's actually pretty cool. And honestly, it might be my preferred viewing method of the movie.
Really? I'll attempt that. What do the nightmare scenes look like?
I haven't got that
because I really liked the coloring on the nightmare scene.
Jake's the kind of guy who's like, this is my favorite version of the film. I mean, like, I haven't gotten through half of it yet, but it's definitely my favorite version.
I said it might be my preferred
view. I will say it's probably better than Malignant.
Did you watch that?
Yes.
Yeah, him and Jared did. Or I think, Claire, were you there too?
When
was
this? Bro.
2 nights ago?
Yeah.
I wasn't there.
Like, the first 20 minutes was decent. I don't get told anything. But around the end, I just...
Well, go to the gym.
You go to the gym.
I did. That's where I heard about this.
Okay.
Waffle House. So, that's right, I know.
I know, too.
You know too much about my life.
Oh, we know a lot.
I don't know whose hand that was.
All right. It was yours.
So, do you guys... Okay, number one, a lot of people don't like this film.
I appreciated it more watching it now.
I think I do like this.
I was also in my, like, hardcore Marvel the best, like, phase when I was in high school. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll also say that I think the only bad thing about this movie is the fact that the reason why Batman doesn't kill Superman is that his mom's name is Martha.
Yep. That's the only thing I had with it.
Well, see, you know what would have made that work? If he hadn't, like, 20 seconds before mentioned the fact that Superman had parents. Yeah. Because he, like legitimately, when he's bringing him, when he's, like, Superman's got his leg tied and he's being dragged, and he's like, I bet your parents told you you were special, bitch. Like, when he was saying that, I was like, if he had never mentioned the fact that Superman had any human element,
yeah,
it would have made it more powerful when Superman was like, hey, here's the name of my mom. You know, like, that would have been much more powerful for Batman to go, oh, shit.
Or
maybe he does have a bit of humanity.
But it's like, if he said his mother's name and it wasn't Martha, would he have killed him?
I don't think that matters.
No, I think he would have.
I think he would have. I agree. I think probably.
And that's fucking stupid to root for.
Well, I agree that it's stupid, but I'm saying it would have been more impactful if Batman was basically like, you have no whatsoever humanizing qualities. Because, like, that's what I wrote was part of the beautiful lie, because I answered that a few times throughout the movie, what I thought the beautiful lie was. But I think one of the ways that can be interpreted is the beautiful lie is that for someone who hungers for war, the lie is that... the person you are trying to kill is not a person. They're just something you are trying to kill. And that's the beautiful lie for someone who hungers for war. Mm. And that's what I thought maybe the beautiful lie would be for Batman. Now, I do have a couple other answers that I think are broader, but I think that's the beautiful lie that ties into the climax.
Ben Affleck's Batman is pretty broad.
Okay.
He's a wide boy. Let me tell you something.
You're a broad.
I am abroad. Look at me.
Yeah, because you're going to a distant land.
Ah.
But I do want to talk about, like, kind of the central question that's kind of argued over the course of this movie, which I think is essentially, is there any absolute good?
And, so, okay.
And if there is not, does that mean that there is only absolute evil and... maybe less evil, like lesser evil. There's no good and bad. There's just bad and then worse.
So first thing I want to do is kind of set up how this movie views heroes, or how this movie says that the humanity in this film views heroes. Mm-hmm. And I want to start out with saying that that I think that there's something divine about Bruce Wayne's origins in this film is that it's obviously very poetic and kind of surrealized.
Well, it's a dream.
I don't know. Also, I don't know if it, like, specifically says it in the movie, but, like, when I was reading up about it, it said that, that, like, Bruce has been Batman for 20 years at this point.
Okay. Yeah, it says it a couple times.
Okay. Well, I didn't pick up on it.
But it is a dream. But it's very symbolic in that. And I think... specifically when Bruce, young Bruce, is being carried out of the well, he is being lifted by the bats, by nature. So it almost kind of sets up this level of divine intervention, almost kind of destiny, that Bruce was born to be Batman.
Yeah.
Because bats would not be able to do that. That's a thing that's almost impossible. But they lifted him out.
Well, it's certainly symbolic.
Right. They lifted him out. And they are the ones that carried him to the light.
Yeah.
The beautiful eye.
Yeah. Well, because... And I answered that a few times. I think... I had the one that I just talked about earlier. Then I have two other versions. I think the beautiful lie of the beginning is that the strongest among us can care about our well-being. And I think that is certainly... That's certainly... A beautiful lie, right? It's like, oh man, if Superman was here, we would love for him to be, you know, the one who is, you know, good, obviously.
Yeah.
But it's like, maybe the lie is like, at least from Batman's perspective, is that everybody is just negating all the terrible things he does or the lack of good things that he does and then assumes that he's, you know, benevolent.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, and I agree with that. And I think it's the first thing we see with Superman is kind of insert word of that, because you know you ask, well, is there absolute good? I don't think so, at least not in a scope that we can perceive on a general.
Are you
scale.
Saying absolute good doesn't manifest, or that absolute good doesn't exist?
Doesn't exist.
Okay, well then how would you define anything transient? Like, how would you, let's say, define God if God existed, or anything that's above? Because, like, the problem with saying there is no absolute good, there are just gradations of it, is that, well, first of all, if there is no absolute good, you can't have any good. Just as if there is no absolute evil, you can't have any variations of it, because it doesn't exist. Because if you have a little bit of good and then a little bit of evil, then whatever the most of either of those is becomes the absolute. So essentially, by saying there's no absolute good or absolute evil, you're saying that there is no center of morality. There is no way to define morality on any subjective level, because as soon as you define morality, there becomes an absolute good and becomes an absolute evil. There has to be.
Anyway, like I was saying, at least on a general level, I think that each... interaction with anything, I think there is something there. But like the Ten Commandments say, thou shalt not kill, right? And so that is deemed to be the absolute good, the absolute moral, the absolute right thing to do. But what if you're in a situation, self-defense? And I know we've talked about this before in the Bible. It's like you can kill, you know, a man if he's going to kill you or whatever it is.
Well, if a man breaks into your home, you can kill him when it's nighttime, but not when it's daytime.
Why?
Because it denotes what your intent is.
Well, okay, and that's right. And
right,
that's
because like during the night, traditionally, like in that culture, you wouldn't be able to see. So if during the struggle you're preventing them from taking your property and they die, the fault is not on you. But in the daytime, if they break in, then you are supposed to be, able to tell that you're, if you killed them or not, like your intention is clear, essentially.
Yeah.
That's okay. The idea.
Okay. Well, but that's my point. Is so even, you know, even when we have this ideal absolute good presented, there are still times when it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
For your own sake. And this kind of goes back to, this it pulls kind of this idea from the Leviathan as well as Nicomachean thought from Aristotle, where it's like, number one, Leviathan talks about how morality is kind of based on a the system, whoever's in power, and they create the laws, and that is what's good, right? But it also says that the laws are created for self-preservation, right? And so self-preservation, in turn, would be moral, would be good, just defined by that logic. And then Nicomachean thought with Aristotle basically talks. He asked the question, what is the point of being moral? And, you know, maybe that's where the Christian religion comes in, but it's also to what end? And then, you know, what is morality? How is that manifested? Well, it's being virtuous. What is virtue?
Yeah.
And that kind of depends on what culture you live in.
Well, it certainly is. It's all about how you define your terms, and that's all philosophy is, really, is just defining terms and then suggesting from those definitions what action should be taken. And that's what makes it so difficult, is because defining those terms is different across culturally, like,
right.
Obviously. And so the part that you're talking about, the self-preservation aspect, I think that's pretty astute, right? I think what laws generally, I would say good laws that are upheld in a fair system, are meant for self-preservation, not only of life, but let's say of liberty and property, right? It's the preservation of those aspects against any individual or state tyranny, right? And that's what laws are meant to, let's say, protect you from, right? That's why you have a law for, you know, don't murder. And it's like, it's to prevent, you know, your own loss of life. And so you could argue that self-preservation is the absolute moral thing, but then, like you said, what about if someone's trying to kill you? Do you have a right to kill them? Well, a lot of people would say yes, you know, in self-defense, but then you're asking, well, okay, well, what about self-preservation for that other person? You know, it's like, well, they gave up that right of self-preservation when they tried to take somebody else's.
Yeah.
And I would maybe argue that that's more in line. But the thing that I have with absolute good and absolute evil is that I don't believe that absolute good or absolute evil can manifest physically.
Well,
but I don't.
Do you mean in a tangential way?
What do you? I mean, I don't think that there is a person who can be absolutely good or absolutely evil just by the sake of being alive. But it doesn't mean that I don't believe that those are innate concepts. Because I think logically they have to exist. If you judge anything to be moral, then there has to be an absolute.
Right, and so that's kind of where I'm getting at, too. So let's go back. Let's go back to the movie for a second. So when we first see Superman, you know, number one, there's all these mercenaries that kill a bunch of people, right?
Yeah.
And then Superman comes in and he saves Lois, right? But he does not save Lois because she is a person that needs saving. She saves Lois because he loves Lois.
That's the catalyst. Like, that's what Lex was counting on, too.
Well, exactly. Right. But that's kind of where this whole spiral of, like, morality comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Is, number one, they all view Superman as, like, this god.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Little g. Mm-hmm. Little g, yeah. As Ego would say.
Well.
And I'll get to that.
Right.
What you're thinking about. Fuck.
They view him as God.
Yeah, they view him as God, but.
What's you're talking about saving Lois?
Yeah. So he comes in and he saves Lois, not for a person's sake, but really for his own sake.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, in the dream we see that he's like, I lost Lois, and that's basically why I'm evil now.
Yeah. So, well, in a lot of Superman media too, that's why he turns bad. Like, think of the Injustice universe.
Yeah.
It's just because it's very interesting. It goes to, like, there's something about Lois that grounds him in humanity, right? Whereas, like, without her, there's, in his mind at least, there is no humanity.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's kind of what is a motif in some other films that involve otherworldly beings, is that love is humanity's great
power.
Sure. Yeah. Right. And so through Lois, he gets to see that. It's kind of like Invincible as well.
Yeah.
Even though the dad, I don't remember his name, Omni-Man, is like, she was just a pet. I mean, he still loved her.
Yeah.
Right? In a sense. Yeah. And so that kind of kept him from
doing those things. Well, I would even argue it's more so Mark that
Mark
is his grounding.
Okay.
As far
but that...
But it's still, not romantic love, but yeah.
It's kind of the same thing. Like, she basically plants the humanity in him with that last flashback.
And he plants some humanity in her.
All right. Yeah, he does. And so without that, he... would basically, like you're saying, have no reason to do quote unquote good in the world. Yeah. And so Aristotle says that, like, it is only truly a good act. I'm paraphrasing, of course. It's only a truly good act if your intention is good and you are aware that you are doing a good thing.
Yeah.
So, like, because Superman isn't saving Lois because it's the right thing to do, he's saving Lois because he loves her.
Yeah.
It could possibly not necessarily be good.
Right. No, I understand that argument. And I agree to an extent that, like, Superman in these movies, and that's up into, like, the Justice League, like, you know, post-credits, like the Nightmare stuff. Yeah. He seems to be an inherently almost selfish person, which is interesting because that juxtaposes a self-sacrificing nature. But it's like, without that, because he is so powerful and so outside of humanity, without that one thing that brings him in,
yeah,
that brings out this inner selfishness and hate of being almost.
Yeah. Because outside of his mother and Lois Lane, like, everybody else either views him as God or the devil. And, like, what that would do to him without having, like, someone that can actually, like, just be there for him. Because before Lois, you know, he had his mother. And I feel like he would have, like, grown to be essentially... Well, have you guys seen Brightburn?
Yes.
Yeah, he would have been that had he not had Martha.
Right.
Because that's essentially what happens in that movie. His family turns against him because they are afraid of what he could be, not what he is.
Yeah.
And that turns him into the devil, essentially.
Potentially, but at the same time, you know, if we look at this idea that Superman turns evil, well, not even evil, just maybe just Kryptonian. Maybe he just reverts to what he truly is.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly. But that exists. So I think that there is a right to be afraid.
Yeah.
You know, and I agree with you saying, well, that's not what he is. But, you know, Lex had the idea. But look at what could happen.
Yeah, well, yeah. And
even,
this
if,
is,
what is he, even if there is a 1% chance.
We have to take it as an absolute certainty. But, and that's what's interesting is because, like, you do see that Barry confirms Bruce's fear, essentially. Mm-hmm. He's like, hey, like, yeah, Superman's gonna rock your shit. Like, if you don't kill him, go ahead, you're right. Like, don't save him, you know? And what's interesting is that in Zack Snyder has talked about where the universe would have gone, and that there are supposed to be ups and downs in the universe, like how it ends and stuff, right? Justice League ends on a high where BVS ends on a low, meaning the next film in, you know,
in theory, he had it planned out.
And
no, theoretically, if it happens, is what
right,
I meant.
Right. And essentially the story was going to be that Bruce was going to get Lois pregnant.
What?
Yeah. Like, he was going to get her pregnant. And then in the course of things to happen, she was going to die. And that's what caused Superman to lose his shit. Because not only did Batman betray him in that aspect, but then she also dies. And so that's essentially what is the catalyst for all of that to happen. Dude, and I don't know how it ends.
Honestly, this Bruce Wayne is kind of a piece of shit, in my opinion.
How so?
Well, it's like...
I mean, I don't disagree,
yeah,
but
yeah,
just...
yeah, it's... I don't know. He doesn't really feel like a person to me.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, well, your mom is the same name as mine? Okay, yeah, forget that I tried to kill you. Oh, you're dead? All right, cool. I'm gonna bang your, you know, almost fiancé. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. He just doesn't seem as, like...
But I feel like that's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
Is that again,
seems more 20
years in Gotham, and then he says that he talks about somebody like that, and they say he said yeah like 20 years in Gotham that'll mess you up real bad.
Well, he
and
says,
not only
like,
that,
how, you know, how many allies do we have left and how many have stayed that way?
Yeah.
Well, know? but then he Alfred says even you got too old to die young, and if. You remember there's a saying, either you die a hero
or
you live long enough to see yourself become a villain.
I thought you were going to say only heroes die young.
Oh, well, I mean, that's another one.
Yeah.
But then, you know, b- both of those still apply.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, again, that kind of goes back to this idea of the fallen hero that we see with Superman, but now we also see in Batman as well.
Yeah, and I want to add, like, another layer onto this, because I just remembered. There's a bit that Lex says to Superman where he says, God is tribal. If God is all-powerful, then he cannot be all-good. And if God is all-good, then he cannot be all-powerful. And I think that's interesting because I think, for one, I understand the sentiment. For two, the problem with judging the characteristics of God is because of the very nature of God being so omnipresent and omnipotent, like, you can't judge it from your own morals. Now, I understand the sentiment, but judging, like Lex is like, oh, man, my dad beat the shit out of me, and God never intervened. And it's like, so that means... Well, That means that God is either not good or not all powerful, meaning he's not God.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's like the question is like, okay, well, here's the thing. You inherited this large ass company, and maybe that beating, terrible in and of itself, maybe that could have led to something good, but instead you chose to go down this path, right? And I'm not justifying, you know, child abuse.
Well, he's the flip side of Batman in a way.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, you know, he had unfortunate things with his parents. I mean, Batman could have, like, turned bad because his parents died, and he was like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's like with Lex specifically, like the part that I'm trying to get to is that judging the characteristics of God from human perspective is inherently limited. Because it, by its very nature, it has to be. And that's tough because there is a sort of logical consistency you want to bring to it. It's like, okay, well, why, you know, if God is all good, why did he allow for the quote-unquote genocide of the Canaanites in the Joshua story? It's like he basically commanded Joshua to go and destroy these people. Now, we can argue about the merits of that because it wasn't actually a genocide. It actually took place over the course of an entire generation, and it wasn't actually a genocide because a lot of those people still remained, and we know that because they talk about the Canaanites forever in the Old Testament, meaning that it wasn't a genocide. Anyways, why would God allow, like, people to go out, and they're like, okay, there are these people that are in your land, go, you know, go move them out of the land or kill them. Like, why would God allow that if he's all good? It's like, well, maybe your definition of all good isn't in line with God's definition of all good.
Well, and that's what I would say, is like if we're talking about human comprehension of God, big G, you know, saying something is good from a human standpoint is innately impossible, because again, like, you, like, what is good?
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's like, how do you define that?
It's like the idea of with what Vision says, you know, he pities the humans.
No, it's not at all like that. It's not even remotely close to that because it's a stupid thing.
Well, no, but again, that's my point, is Vision is not a human. You know, Vision has this knowledge far beyond either of ours. And so the same thing with God exists so far beyond us that we cannot comprehend.
Yeah. That's part of... I don't agree with the Vision thing, because I'm never going to agree on that, because that's a stupid...
Oh, the 20 years in Gotham thing. It says, it turns good men cruel. That's the quote.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's one of those tricky things, because one of the aspects of God that is characteristic of him in all literature is the fact that God does not exist on Earth in a physical form. So that very own characteristic, that who the hell's clapping out there? Okay. Because he doesn't exist in a physical form on Earth, then there is an inherent separation. Yeah. And the only time that he does exist on an inherent form on Earth, in the story of Jesus, it's very clear that God is not deemed wholly good by any of the world powers, right? Any of the people who have identified what good is. Mm-hmm. Even the people who are taking the word previously of God before he came down in person, and the word of God saying what is good, and then God comes down in a physical form, redefines what good is, and then they don't agree with that. It's like, because it's so far removed, like the point that I'm getting at is that it's a weird comparison, and I understand because it looks good on paper and it sounds good and it somewhat applies, but when you break it down, it doesn't quite fit, because for one, Superman didn't create humanity. For one, mm-hmm. So I mean,
That we know of,
that we're aware of. There, we're not 100% sure, but because he didn't create humanity, there already is a limiting input on him being God. It's just that he has a lot of power.
Well,
it's essentially a really strong guy.
It's interesting because like Lex compares them both as either God or a demon. Because mm-hmm. the whole thing with the painting, is that a real painting?
I don't know.
I would assume so, yeah.
If it is, I need to look that up.
It's probably from, like, Dante's Inferno or something. Yeah. Because it gave me that kind of vibe.
Yeah, well, it's essentially, like, the angels, like, chasing the demons back into hell. But he's like, that needs to be reversed because we know that the demons come from the sky.
Yeah.
And so that's, like... Yeah. I mean,
all right, what were we saying about the painting?
Oh, yeah. Don't do that. Lex uses that to compare him to a demon instead of a god.
Yeah.
And that's specifically when he's talking to Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that may just be him trying to, like, pit him against, but, I mean, he compares to him as both a demon and a god.
Yeah, and it's interesting, because men are referenced as, you know, kind of demonic beings sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Batman says, you were never a god.
Mm-hmm.
You were never even a man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is absolutely true, because Clark is not.
But then as soon as he hears Martha, he's like, oh,
you are a man.
Yeah, well, it changes the notion of how he viewed Superman. I wish they had done that a lot better, but because Batman certainly does There is this pitting of man against God throughout the whole thing, and it's kind of telling that Batman pretty much could have killed God in this. Like, man pretty much could have killed God, but because of God's humanizing element, he decides not to.
Yeah.
And it's like, that metaphor doesn't work for me.
Yeah. Well, I... So I agree with you a little bit, potentially. But, the way that they kind of contrast this is, so there's this voiceover scene about halfway through the movie, I think, where Superman goes out and there's like a burning building, and he comes out and he saves somebody, and he's heads her down and he's walking away, and everybody's kind of like placing their hands on him.
Mm-hmm. Which this is also the Day of the Dead thing.
Well, yeah.
It's a very religious country that they're in.
It's also in the Bible too, with like the palm leaves and stuff and walking and whatnot. The same kind of like
reaching out,
right? Mm-hmm. But then it's also contrast with like news reports of people like bashing Superman. In particular, one person says, There's one line where it's, Whose hero is he? Number one.
Mm-hmm.
But then also, there's a guy who's like, we have a horrible track record of people of power.
Yeah.
And the first one I come to think of, Mike, I'm looking at you, is Hitler.
I knew that's what it was going to be as soon as you said Mike.
And you know, it really... We in times of need, we turn to people with the most power, mm-hmm. because we think that they can make the most change, and if they speak good, well then we believe them because
we believe they might act good,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of what we see here with Superman. And let me just say, he ultimately does decide to act good, but Doomsday could have been entirely avoided,
mm-hmm.
like entirely,
yeah.
If Superman was willing to sacrifice his mom. And all this could have been avoided, potentially.
Yeah, but I think we're putting too much onus on Superman to do that, because I don't think there's any other hero that we would say he is less of a hero for choosing to save, like, people from his personal life.
But maybe, but at the same time, at least as far as I know, there it gets more shaky because Superman is the only one that could have done that in that situation. Yeah. Like if we look at Endgame, you know, Iron Man sacrifices himself.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have to, necessarily. Well,
yeah, he did.
Did he?
Yeah, Stephen Strange is like, this is the one time that we have to win.
Yeah, but he didn't have to.
No, that's the only way they could have.
He could have.
But then Thanos would have destroyed the entire universe without him.
Right before he, like, snapped, or right before he got the gauntlet, like, Stephen was like.
Okay, but here's the thing. He could have not done that way back when in the beginning of the movie. He could have been like, no, I'm not going to help you guys time travel.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. He didn't have to do that.
He acted literally up until the last bell. He acted as if he was going back. Because he said, he was like, I'm not losing anything here.
Yeah.
He was like, I can't. The cost is too great. Like, he's like, I can't lose that. And then at the very end, he's like, this is the only way that I can ensure that they stay. The only way. He's tried throughout the entire film to make sure that he gets back.
I understand
that's
that.
That's the sacrifice.
I understand that.
Also,
but he could have made the choice not to.
Yeah.
He could have made the choice not to leave. That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He could have stayed there.
Well, I also feel like even if Superman like did let Martha die, Doomsday still would have happened. And I feel like he knew that. Because,
not necessarily. Like, if he just straight up killed Lex Luthor.
Well, Lex's ultimate goal was to have Superman die. He thought he gave Batman, he essentially, like, let Batman get the resources to kill Superman. He said, since the Bat couldn't do it, meet your Doomsday, essentially.
Yeah.
So, if Superman lived at all, Doomsday would have happened.
I just, no.
No, because he could have gone to the ship. And, like, pulled the plug or whatever.
Well, no, here's the thing. Like, when Superman goes, but Superman goes up to the skyscraper, and he's like, hey, you got an hour to go fight the Bat, or I'll kill your mom. If Superman sacrificed his mom just by killing Lex right there, Doomsday would not have been created.
Yeah, okay.
So.
Well, then I agree.
That's what I'm saying. Is, like, think of, like, how many things could have been avoided if Superman would have just killed Lex.
Yeah, but think of, like, well, and that's the problem with human history. Think of how many things in human history could have been avoided if people didn't care about their personal lives.
Yeah.
Martha, like, still could have been saved.
But again, that's what I'm saying is, like, so he's not this,
love,
he's not
love
all
and,
good.
Love and, well, no, I love inherently invites catastrophe. Because if you care for something, then you fight for it. And if you fight for it, something dies.
Right.
And it's like, so if love is all good, love inherently leads to things that are evil. It always does.
Right. So love, well, that's, and then I kind of, love isn't all good.
It's, well, see, kind of what, and that's where we get into just a straight up disagreement, because the problem is that, okay, so the problem is that because an action of love can never do anything wrong, then it's an action of hate that always does something wrong, right? So if you take an action out of love, like, let's say, you know, you marry somebody and you're like, hey, you know, I'm gonna build a house for you or something like that. That's an action of love, right? And someone comes because you built that house, and then they come and they decide to burn it down, and your wife dies in the process, and you go and you kill the guy. That's you're killing him as an action of hate, but I don't think your action of love directly led to that evil. I'm saying that it happens because you love. Or maybe I'm confusing myself here, but there is a distinction, right? Because there are
between love and hate.
Yes, well, between the specific what's it called? Not like idea, but the motive. Yeah, your motive is different between actions of love and actions of hate.
Hey, you know where Batman first found his sidekick doing? Robin!
You spit.
Oh, like, shit! They can't know who you are either!
Oh, I forgot to put this on.
Close your eyes, everybody. Including you, Chris.
Oh, you can't know who I am, Batman. Robin. I'm stupid.
I feel naked underneath.
Anyway, moral of the story is nobody's good.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree. Nobody's absolutely good.
People act out of their own selfish intention.
Yeah.
Even if it's disguised as doing something good.
Well, because it's like, is it possible to love somebody and be all that you could possibly be?
No.
Yeah, because I think there is a bit of that sacrificial element that, like, on one hand, it hinders what you could be, but it makes you something more.
Yeah, well, no, yeah. And I absolutely agree with that. So it's a heavy contradiction with that. And if we can take a look at La La Land for some, maybe, insight into this idea is that, you know, at the end of the film, they had to separate because together, even though they loved each other, together they could not fulfill their dream.
Yeah. Which, and you get the whole montage during that, like, and at the very end, where you see what they could be, and it's like, yeah, they're super happy, but they weren't everything they could be.
Right.
You know? And that's part of life, and that's, I guess, the paradox of life, is that, you know, you do need others, I think, and I think you do need love in all its aspects, but I think with that, it's very limiting in some sense.
Yeah.
And that sucks, but that's what life is finding out what that balance for you is.
I'll say it, dude. Zack Snyder was on to something.
Oh, yeah.
Too bad Warner Bros. Fucked him over.
I mean, are we
Super
gonna
Smash
get,
Warner Bros.
are we going to get another Justice League?
No.
Like, no,
it's, that universe is dead.
Wait,
and
really?
And Warner Brothers is more than fine. Dude, I hate that you never watched any of these coming out. You're so behind on the news.
No, I have seen, like, Justice League, but
yeah,
it's been a while.
I've not seen Man of Steel.
I haven't seen Man of Steel.
But, like, okay, so basically, because Warner Brothers is making money on their solo movies that have nothing to do with each other, they're like, well, we'll just keep doing that. So they're going to do that and then sequels to that, and then maybe down the road they might try to bring them together again, but I don't think that's going to happen.
That's stupid.
All they had to do was not put creative inhibitions or blockades or whatever you want to call them on the people, and it would have been fine.
Well, that's my big problem with studios in general. It's like, how many times has it happened where studios have massively changed a movie and people have liked it? Honest to God, cannot remember one time that's ever happened.
True.
Well, that wasn't even the studios. That was people who made fun of it, and then they changed. It was the audience reception.
I guess that's true.
It wasn't the studios.
True.
Like, the studios okayed it. That's why it was out as a trailer.
Yeah.
Also, why did they even think that was a good idea in the first place?
I don't know,
Sonic.
Man. I think studios are dumb.
I think they are. But
I think
Warner Brothers is okay because every time they release a live action Looney Tunes movie, they stress on the fact that they know that they're stupid.
That's true.
Yeah.
Like,
watch our past episode or listen to our past episode.
Yeah. Oh, dude, we should do Space Jam 2. I've only seen the first 10 minutes of that movie. Dear God.
I don't know if I even want to sit down and watch it.
I haven't seen either of them.
I laughed, like, audibly. 5 times within the first 10 minutes because of how bad it was.
Awesome. I play basketball.
Is it still on HBO Max?
Yeah.
I guess you don't have a choice now.
Like, the filming quality of it for the first, like, but before it becomes animated, it looks like it's the filming quality of a Hallmark movie. That's what it feels like.
Did you watch the entirety of it?
No.
Can we watch it together? Because I don't know if I have the willpower.
I don't know if I have the willpower to even try to watch the whole thing.
I don't have the willpower to watch it by myself. That's the truth. I said pretty much all I want to say about this. I agree with Jake that I wish... I don't know. I wish we had we could have seen where this universe was going, even though I think a lot of aspects of it were really stupid. But I think what happens, and this is the what I would call the Star Wars effect, is that when new things come out, people tend to view the older things as better. Because that's what happened with the prequels versus the sequels. That's what happened with Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. Everybody now is like, you know, on the internet at least, like, oh man, Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man was the best. But then like 4 or 5 years ago, they were shitting on it for being terrible because they're idiots. I don't know. I think that's just interesting. I think there's something about that with this because these movies, all three of these, and granted the Joss Whedon cut is really fucking stupid. Apparently he's a scumbag too.
How's he a scumbag?
Like Gal Gadot was like, yeah, he like was making a lot of remarks about me. And Ray Fisher, I think, is Cyborg's name.
Ray Romano?
No,
oh,
Ray Romano.
Yeah.
You just imagine Ray Romano is Cyborg.
That'd be funny. But basically...
But they all like Zack Snyder.
Yeah, well... I forgot what I was going to say. But basically, like, when this came out, nobody liked it. And then now a bunch of people kind of like it and wish that they had it just because it's gone. And I think there's something interesting about that, about human nature, where we don't appreciate things when they happen, but when they're gone, damn it, do we miss it.
Yep. Yep.
And with that, boys,
I'm Batman.
Well, I was going to say, if you guys are done, I have a text that relates to this.
A text?
Yeah, that I would like to to read from real quick. I can read if I do, guys. But are you guys done?
Yeah.
All right. So I feel like this applies to the movie we're watching. Okay.
I just saw what the page was.
All right.
Yeah, it's Starfire.
Do you worry that you're not liked? How long until you break? You're happy because you smile, but how much can you fake? An ordinary boy, an ordinary name, but ordinary is just not good enough today. And ow. A woo ow, a woo ow, a woo, an ow, a woo ow, a woo ow, a woo, alone, 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 alone. I'm thinking, Y E I E I E, yeah, Superman's dead.
Is that Tyler the Creator?
No. I'm surprised. It's Our Lady Peace, Superman's dead. It's a 90s song.
Never heard of that.
Yeah, honestly, the verses.
Second part was you, Kyle.
Which part?
Excuse me, third part.
Alone.
Yeah.
Honestly, like the verses like do kind of apply, but yeah. Should I keep going?
Yeah. Ready or not, scale.
E I E I E. Yeah. Is it in my head?
Hold on. Wait a second.
I'm just gonna do this right now. Okay.
Who explodes? Oh, here, one more thing. The Superman statue in Hero Park resembles Atlas a little bit. The Atlas ideal.
Yeah, it does kind of, yeah. He's holding everything on his shoulders. I do like the very last end when they're like, if you seek his monument, look around you. I like that. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I give it a 4.
Why?
There's a couple explosions. Where people explode? See explode, yeah. Number
Doomsday
one, I can remember. There's one near the end where Doomsday throws the like big plus sign at a helicopter.
Yeah,
people explode.
We see the helicopter and the people in the helicopter.
Okay, you change your goddamn rules.
I knew that one was coming.
God, I hate you so much. All right,
can we retroactively go back into the Revenge of the Sith episode and give it a 5 out of 5?
No, I wasn't being serious about that.
Okay, rap time.
Wait. Tweet us. Are you Team Batman or Team Superman?
Or Team Robin?
I'm Team Batman.
Are you Team Robin?
I'm Team Batman.
Please
too.
Be Team Robin.
But let us Everybody know.
We never got into this, but I actually agree with Batman.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. We never got into that. But damn it.
Team Superman or Team Batman at PacinoPod on Twitter, or send us a little spiel of why you do like or do not like this film, Batman or Superman, Justice League. Ultra Dark Instinct, Justice is Gray on HBO Max exclusive at PacinoPodcast@gmail.com.
And with that,
no, Chris is going to do his little thing. He's going to do his little thing. I thought you were doing that for the rest of the music.
Oh, no, I'm going to do it. Oh, all right. My name is Dick. Dick Grayson. Superman is evil because he's not from Haven. He's from the hell part of the sky. He is going to come and die, and then he comes back because Lois is dead, and so he goes over and he cuts off Batman's head and he says, "Hey, Darkseid, I am joining the dark side because I'm essentially Anakin Skywalker. I'm walking the sky, I'm going up, and I'm getting pretty high. Have you smoked PCP before? I have. It doesn't work on me because I'm a Superman."
who am I under this mask?
That might be my favorite one.
Michael Keaton's Batman because I have two hairs just like him.
Michael Keaton doesn't have hair.
Stab him sauerkraut!
Stab him sauerkraut!
I always
forget. I'm gonna hear that rap again. That's probably my favorite rap.